I want to talk to you today about change and the new normal. How many of you have been hearing the new normal? I'm wondering how many of you are inside. I was like, I ain't going to be normal. Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. So turn to Hebrews chapter 13. While you're turning to Hebrews chapter 13, did you know that 2020 is a unique year because it's a leap year? February had 29 days. Did you know that it was also going to have 300 days in March, and 1,000 days in April, and 10 years in May? Does it feel like that, does it? Wow. So I wanted you to know this too. I ordered a Super Soaker online for the church. I did, because somebody said they wanted to be baptized, and I wanted to continue the guidelines, so I got a Super Soaker. Yeah, we'll just get somebody right here in the middle and video all us squirting them. Yeah. Anyway, you're at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It just says in this verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you know God does not change? Old Testament, he says, I am God, I change not. So how many of you want to be like God? Yeah? Okay. So then should you change? Well, I'm going to be like God. I'm not going to change. You can't change me. Don't be giving this new normal stuff. My old normal was just fine. Truth is, we all need to change. It really is true. And we don't generally like change. Sometimes we are forced to change. Like now, some things are happening and they're saying there's going to be a new normal, and it feels, how many of you feel like some of this is just being forced? It doesn't feel good. Yeah, that's all right. It's all right. It's how we feel. Whether our feelings match realities or not sometimes is one of the great mysteries of the time that we live in. There are a lot of people running around and they feel like they need to do this or that, and so they do this or that, and whether they really need to do this or that, and they feel like, you know, one feels this way and one feels that way. And I may talk about that. There's an interesting scripture in Romans chapter 14, you know, one man esteems one day above another, and another man esteems every day alike. You know, we don't all see eye to eye on everything. We don't have to always about everything. That's another message for another time, though. So we've been hearing about this new normal, and the implication is that we're all going to have to change and everything's going to be different from now on. The truth is, things are always changing. I mean, one of the things that I noticed that changed was women's hairstyles, because they've all got this thing, you know, this area that's different color than the other area. It's a new thing, right? Some of you women are like, thank God the salons, I almost said saloons, thank God the salons are starting to open up. You says, hallelujah. Yeah, some of you are like, I've already been to the saloons. The reality is usually things do change a bit more slowly than they seem like they've changed right now. That's something we can all agree on, I think. And some things are changing. On the other hand, I'm not sure if some things are going to change that much, really. I mean, people are saying everything's going to be different. Well, I doubt that everything's going to be different. I really do. I think some things are just human nature. So Lisa and I are driving home yesterday evening from my son's house. I've been over there trying to help him build a really nice office area and part of his basement. And, you know, he wanted to do that, but then it turned out that he didn't have to work from home. But, you know, we started it, so we're going to finish it now, right? Plus, my daughter-in-law is doing something with books, where she's doing online book parties with Facebook and their kids' books, and she reads them and shows them off to moms, and moms order them, and I guess it's kind of cool. And then on top of everything else, my granddaughter, 5.5-year-old Remy, made her own YouTube video on how to put on makeup. I'm not sure it's really a how-to, but it's a lot of fun to, you know, laugh and cute. So they've got this room they're going to do all this. My son's got, you know, editing and video and audio equipment and all this stuff. And so we were working on that, and we're driving through Hicksville on the way home, and we saw two people talking, a guy on a trike, you know, one of those big motorcycle tricycles, and a lady. And they're kind of standing, they're talking to each other, and And all of a sudden, she got like nods her head and reaches out, and they're shaking hands. And Lisa saw it, and she goes, "Oh, social distancing!" You know, and she was just kidding, but it's like, you know, that's really hard. Have any of you had a hard time with that? Like, I was in a parking lot, the First Church of God parking lot, because some of us pastors were meeting. And one of the people that I hadn't seen from the First Church of God, Larry, who's on staff there and is a counselor, he comes out and he had a beard, and I was, you know, joking with him. And next thing I know, we're hugging and handshaking. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we blew that totally, didn't we? This is what we do, isn't it? We're human, and humans do this stuff. And somebody said, well, we're not going to be able to do that anymore. Well, I got a feeling we probably will. I have a feeling that we'll get past this time in history. And we'll look back on it, and we'll have a better understanding of what took place. But I don't think people are going to stop being touchy. How many of you know touchy people? And some of you aren't touchy people. You just assume nobody ever touch you. But, you know, there are touchy people. They like to do that. So that's the way it's going to work. Job chapter 10, verses 17 and 18 says, "You renew your witness against me and increase your indignation toward me. Changes and war are ever with me. Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Oh, that I had perished and no eye had seen me." What got me about this verse was, I remember reading it the first time the first time it jumped out to me. Changes and war. Like those two in the same sentence. Job was basically saying, I don't like change and I don't like war. War and change, they're very similar, you know, because it's just, I hate it. It's just, war is hell, and so is change. That's what people have said. It's, people don't like to change. So Job put them in the same category. If you don't like change, you are not the first person who didn't like change. How many of you, I've noticed too, the older you get, the less you like change. Yeah. Change can be hard, it's uncomfortable, and sometimes it's messy. I've noticed that too. Our office is changing, and boy, was it a mess. And it still is, but not as bad. It was worse than it is right this moment. Change is messy. And Job wasn't the first one in the Bible to say that, you know, change wasn't that good a thing. In fact, God even has some things to say about change. Psalm 15, verse 4, "In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change." God honors people who swear to their own church and they're not going to change. I'm not going to change. Well, even God doesn't like some change, but I'm not sure that he doesn't like any change. Some people change every time you turn around. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Any of you have any friends or relatives who are totally inconsistent? Like, I never know what's going to come out of that person next. They just change all the time, and you're like, come on. Proverbs 24:21, "My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change." The words of Solomon. Actually, Solomon's mother. Wow. That's kind of tough, isn't it? I think God loves consistency, is what it's really trying to say here. I think God loves people who are dependable. I think he loves faithfulness. You know, he can count on those people. But I don't believe God loves a rut. How many of you know sometimes maybe I'm just talking to me, I like the way it's been, and I'm in my rut, and stop trying to get me out of my rut. Leave me in my rut's good. I like rut. Go someplace else with your new. I want my rut. Sometimes we get like that. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." So, Kathy, this verse is just for you. Like, nobody else has to pay any attention to this. You have to pay attention to it. God is saying to you that he wants you to be ready in season or out of season. Whether you're ready or not, here it comes. It's going to happen to you. The rest of us, we don't have to change. How many of you think that's what this verse is supposed to do? Just apply it to certain individual people, and they have to be ready whether it feels good or not. But the rest of us, we can just be in a rut. Yeah, that's not just for you, is it, Kathy? If we're not open to change, I don't think we can ever obey this command. Because when you're not in season, when you're not really ready for something, and then you have to be forced into it, that means you're going to have to change. And even the way you feel might have to change, and the things you have to do might have to change. So if we hate change, then we will hate opportunities that come out of nowhere. The thought, isn't it? Do I want to miss my opportunity because I hate change? And we might miss something that God has for us or has for us to do that will bring great blessing because we don't want to do something because it doesn't feel like it's the right season, but sometimes it's not what you feel. Jeremiah 13:23 says, "Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to doing evil." I don't believe that this scripture is intended to make us think that we can't change. But it is intended to make us think that it's not easy to change sometimes, right? I mean, it is a lot of work. And sometimes meaningful, positive change in our lives needs to come. So, are you willing to change? And are you willing to deal with the fact that some things will be different going forward, and you might have to adapt to some of those things? Now, that doesn't mean we have to accept everything that some people want to change. But we might want to be wise in being ready for change. So I'm going to give you three thoughts. Number one, fear the Lord. Psalm 55:19 says, "God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old, Selah, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God." Change and the fear of the Lord are connected in this text. When I fear the Lord, I'm ready to make whatever change I need to make to be in line with my God. When I have awe for him and how great he is, I'm ready to do whatever I need to do to make me different. So those who don't fear God, I believe, are the ones who are the least likely to change. And I believe those who do fear God have an advantage and can change. We don't want to get too self-centered and not God-centered to where we become comfortable. We can begin to think that things are just fine the way they are, and we can even be angry and even rebellious when change comes our way. Well, change can be something that we resist, but it can also be something that we embrace, and we need to know the difference. We need to know when it's time to do one or time to do the other. And sometimes that takes just a little bit of patience. I am interested, you know, I started off with that first wise crack about, you know, February being 29 days and March being 300 days and April being 1,000 days and March has been taking, or May has been taking forever. You know, really, really, I know that this has been a real trial. It's not that I want to downplay it, but there are things in our history in the world like the 100-year war. You know, this has not been that long yet. So let's not get too excited about it. I don't believe that God caused this pandemic. I do believe that it didn't surprise him either. That God wasn't, what? He ate a bat? Who saw that coming? I know, now we even question them. We don't know it. If we fear COVID-19 more than we fear the Lord, then COVID-19 has become the Lord. And so we need to be aware of God and be in awe of him and not be awestruck by some of the things that are going on around us. Second thing I thought of was we need to wait on the Lord. Job 14:14 says, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. You know, you are all going to be changed. You're going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Thessalonians, Paul told the Thessalonians that. You're all going to be changed. How many of you know that somebody next to you really does need to change? I mean, you can kind of just look at, man, their change needs to come. They need to, yeah. Oh, Jesus, help them to hear this message. Hallelujah. You know, this idea of waiting on the Lord, where have we heard that before? Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord is the way to supercharge your life. And it will cause you to have change, but the change won't be as painful, I think, if you're waiting on the Lord, if you're really focused on what God wants. So if we have anticipation, this wait on the Lord, sometimes we think, well, it's just, you know, I can do this. Yeah, I got talent. Twiddling your thumbs. It's not that. The word there in the original language is to watch with anticipation. So it's a hope kind of a word. If we're anticipating what God's going to do and we're waiting on him in anticipation for him to do something, then when the change comes, rather than being, you know, objective to it or resistant to it, we are part of it. We make it happen. So to pursue him, honestly, is to pursue change. Is it not? Last week, I mentioned that we need not fear the new normal because none of us has actually ever lived in anything that was normal. I mentioned, and we didn't get that last week, we had audio issues, but I mentioned that, you know, the original normal was called the Garden of Eden. And people were in the Garden of Eden and they didn't sin and they were normal. They were normal. And we've been trying to get back to normal for a long time. The original goal of normal was to subdue the earth and bring it into the kingdom of God, make it God's heaven on earth. And, well, we got out of whack on that. But that sinless world full of the goodness of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea, that's what we're looking toward. We're working toward that normal. Guess what? We can't get that where we are, so we're going to have to change. Change is going to come. Some people want change to go one way, and some people want it to go the other. I just want it to go God's way. But even God's way sometimes makes me nervous because I'm not used to it. But I like what I'm used to. So the reality is, you've never been normal. Just look at somebody next to you and say, you know, you've never really been normal. Just tell them that. You're not quite normal, are you? No. Yeah, some of you are in rebellion to that. Never mind. And by the way, we won't probably get back to normal until every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians 2:10-11. The last thing that I'll say about being able to change and willing to change and putting yourself in a place where change is easier is to be more childlike and have childlike faith. Matthew 18, verses 2 through 3, it says, Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I've noticed something about little kids. It's especially fun right now because, you know, our grandson is now going to be 12 this summer. It's like, what? It's too old. Stop growing, you kids. Man, you're making me feel old. Well, I am old. That's the way it's working. It beats the tar out of the other alternative. You either get old or you don't. Think about it. Anyway, kids. They change every day. They kind of embrace change a whole lot more. They kind of like it. Ask a kid how old they are, you know. You ask my granddaughter how old she is, 5 and a half. I don't look at people and go, you know, how old are you, 63 and a half? I want to get older. trying to be older all the time. It's not what you do when you get older. Kids are glad to be growing up. They're excited about getting older, and change doesn't scare them because nothing's been any way in particular for very long. Like if you're 5 years old, you know, have you ever heard a kid say that? Oh, my whole life, they're five, my whole life, it's been like this. Honey, that's not even hardly college for most of us anymore, 5 years. I mean, it's poof, it's gone. So change doesn't scare children. And in fact, what scares us for children is if they don't change. You know, you want them to grow. They need to grow. They need to have change. It needs to come. Well, childlikeness lends itself to us feeling comfortable with change. It's expected. It's normal. It's looked forward to. You know, one of the things that's happened to our society is we don't look forward to gray hair. But there was a time when they actually looked forward to it. That's hard for people to believe, but it really is true. You know, the Bible talks about people with silver hair and their wisdom and all that stuff. We used to look forward to having that time of life. They say the golden years, but everybody tries their best not to get there. So what about us? Are we looking forward to change? Do we have that childlike anticipation of the new thing that God may do in spite of what's going on around us? Are we letting our circumstances keep us from seeing what he's up to? Because God's always up to something good. He's in the boat. Maybe he's taking a nap, and we're the only ones running around freaking out. But when he does rise up, we'll be fine. And he's taking a nap because he already knows we're going to be fine. He knows what he's going to do. He's going to take care of us. A new normal is no issue for someone who refuses to be anything like the world's normal in the first place. If you've already made up your mind that you're not going to be the world's normal, then the new normal won't scare you, because the fact of the matter is I've been kind of weird my whole life. I really have. When I got saved at 14 years old, I was the weird Jesus freak kid, and I've just been weird ever since. And so, you know, somebody says, "You're weird." Thank you. Appreciate that. Glad you noticed. And Jesus loves you. You know, this is what you do. You're just different, and it's okay. You're allowed. Let me just finish this by sharing something I heard on the news the other day that I think you'll find quite interesting. Because a lot of people are running around saying, "Oh, it's all good. You know, everything's going to change. Nothing's going to ever be the same." And their hair's on fire, and they run in circles. They're heavily influenced by what I call the lame scream info media, you know, infotainers, lame scream, because that's what they do. They, you know, no matter what, that's what they do. They have to scream about everything. But I heard this on the news. I don't think they were sure what to think of it. Like they were, to me, it didn't sound like bad news. To some people, it might sound like bad news. Are you ready? I heard a report that Silicon Valley has discovered something amazing. They've discovered that the vast majority of people who go to great big buildings in Silicon Valley don't have to go to great big buildings in Silicon Valley. They've discovered the vast majority of people who work in big buildings in Silicon Valley can work from home. And even more importantly, the people who work in those big buildings who have been working from home have discovered that they can work from home. Guess what else they're discovering? They're discovering that they don't have to buy the $700,000 three-bedroom home in Silicon Valley and work from home there. They can buy the $70,000 home in Cecil and work from there. It's still three bedrooms. In fact, it's probably bigger than the one they had in Silicon Valley. And they can live in beautiful Cecil. Some of you are just laughing a little too hard here. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We have houses in our town here that would go for 10 times as much in some places. And people who were having to go to those places to work are now going to find out that they can work from almost anywhere. And then on top of that, here's even better news. The people in Silicon Valley now realize that they don't have to hire people in California. They could hire you. And you wouldn't have to go into the office because you can go into the office virtually, which means some of those high-paying jobs out in Silicon Valley could be your high-paying jobs right here in Northwest Ohio. Now, I'm going to give you some, just a little illustration. I may have mentioned this. So my son, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, probably 5 weeks ago now, gets a call from a guy he went to college with. And Niles is the name of the guy. Niles actually was the leader of a group. Some of you, boy, very few of you, might remember that we had a group that came down from Hillsdale College, and they were called without words. It was a mime team. And Niles was heading up the mime team, which was full of a whole lot of little people like Niles, because Niles not a great big guy. A whole lot of people like Niles and my son, which looked ridiculous. He was the biggest mime I've ever seen in my life. And they came down and they did something for our church one Sunday morning, came down from Hillsdale College. Niles, he's, you know, graduated from college. He's been all over the country. He's done some interesting stuff. He was on HGTV. He and his wife had their house redone on HGTV and things like that. He's connected. He's made a lot of great connections. He calls my son up one day and he says, "Hey, I got a job for you." Josh says, "Yeah, what's up?" He goes, "We need somebody at Apple in Cupertino, California." And Josh says, "Okay, I'm listening." And he goes, $120,000 a year starting out. $50,000 signing bonus. But you got to move to Cupertino." Yeah, you want to? Yeah, here's the problem. Josh did the math. Guess what? $120,000 is worth in this part of the country. Well, it's worth a lot. But guess what? $120,000 is worth in that part of the country? About $60,000 here. He's doing good where he's at, thanks. And his wife asked him to move from the power plant, nuclear power plant, in Virginia. And this was going to be a security job is what it was going to be. You know why they needed security? Well, they have so many people coming into the big Apple facility there at Cupertino. So he was going to be in charge of security, or involved in security, probably not in charge. He said, nah, I can't. We moved back to where we're at, because my wife wants the kids to grow up around grandparents. Bless his heart. And so, he didn't take it. But think about it. Good thing he didn't take it, because there may be people moving out of California to wherever they'd like to live. Maybe rather than the beach, they'd like to see the mountains. Maybe they want to see the Great Black Swamp. And they're going to move to Defiance so they can live in the Great Black Swamp, because they like mud and clay. What I'm saying is this thing that we've all been told to freak out about, because a lot of the news broadcasts are talking about the new normal and trying to make us all nervous, right? This thing that they're talking about, don't be afraid. There may be some opportunities right around the corner for you to live where you live, have a wonderful life, be part of an amazing church right here, and at the same time, see God change some good things. All right? Very cool. Very cool. I want to encourage us.